In order to understand the world, one has to turn away from it on occasion. Here in this sanctuary this morning, we do find the world, because we are of and in and from the world. Some of us are weary with exhaustion, some bitter from too much testing, some with a yearning for more than the surface life, some aching to give and receive, some eager to cross new thresholds, all of us wounded in some ways, all of us triumphant in some ways. The world is all here, among us, within us, and yet we also consecrate here a different time, a different space, in which we can practice settling into the deeper waters of our lives, in which we can feel the ripples of currents that beckon us into the heart of our lives, into the heart of the world, being about the need for rest. Because I think too often we think of the Sabbath in a two-dimensional way. We see Sabbath as about resting and recharging, like one of those rechargeable batteries that we keep popping back into the Energizer Bunny that is our life. So who remembers the Energizer Bunny campaign? So we can keep going and going. Is that how it went? And going and going. So if you're too young to know this, imagine, you know, just how you have just plug in your phone and let it recharge, and then you can keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So yes, Sabbath is about unplugging, about resting, but it can be about so much more. Let's take a look at the Jewish traditions of the Sabbath, Shabbat. I remember in college when I learned more in depth about the Jewish practice of Shabbat, observed from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Our professor told us about Orthodox Jews who continue to strictly observe the laws of Shabbat even as applied to modern circumstances. So kindling a fire was forbidden on Shabbat, so all the cooking had to be done the day before. Orthodox Jews apply that same thinking even to the idea of flipping on a light switch on Shabbat, because a small spark may be made, thus a fire lit is a prohibited act. So we students responded to this idea with scorn, saying, come on, that's just silly. Surely not the real point of this religious ritual is to be able to not turn on your lights in your house. But our professor challenged us not to think so little of these people. He invited our humility and curiosity. In what ways does observing these laws so strictly, in fact, bring about just the kind of thing the religious ritual is trying to get at? If you can't flip on that switch, how does that force you to pause in your typical daily routines? Do you remain in the dark, which can be nice, or you arrange in advance to set a timer? You think ahead and plan for your Shabbat. You give special privilege, planning, and priority to this time instead of privileging our culture of work and consumption first and foremost. So in his book, Sabbath as Resistance, Saying No to the Culture of Now, the Christian, Walter Brueggemann, invites us to resist our culture of busyness and anxiety. To him, resisting that striving needs to become one of everyone's core spiritual practices. So for many Orthodox Jews, strictly observing Shabbat rules is not about silly superstition, but about resisting one thing in order to reorient ourselves to a deeper, more vital thing. Let's get that Energizer Bunny off of there. When the practice of the Sabbath invites us to resist our daily compulsions and conveniences, what often happens is that we are then thrust into solitude or into true community, or into the present moment, or into reflection, or into reconnection with what is vital, the deeper currents that can power our lives. And Sabbath time is not only about a list of don'ts. The Jewish Shabbat and the Christian Sabbath are also about gathering with family, saying prayers, celebrating, singing, feasting. It's about the presence of something that arises when we consecrate, make sacred, a time to connect to that wholeheartedness Brother David spoke of. Consecrating that time for wondering, celebrating, contemplating, loving, laughing becomes a life-giving way of saying no to our world of working, earning, producing, and consuming. And we say no to it, not only for ourselves, but for our land we let lay fallow, our employees whom we give leave time, our children we allow to explore and be free. According to the rabbis, those who observe Shabbat observe all the other commandments. The writer Barbara Brown Taylor says, practicing Sabbath over and over again, the rabbis become accomplished at saying no, which is how they gradually begin to resist the culture's killing rhythms of drivenness and depletion, compulsion and collapse. Worshipping a different kind of God, they are shaped in that God's image, stopping every 7 days to celebrate their divine creation and liberation. So why do we so often resist this practice of Sabbath or of rest? And I don't mean vegging out to TV shows or spacing out on Facebook or doing some mind-numbing busy work. It's okay to do any of that sometimes. I mean, why do we resist things that we know really give us life? It's not only the pressure of our culture that leads us to resist dropping into that different place, but it's often the fear of what we might feel or be asked to accept or recognize the then unshakable need to change. Barbara Brown Taylor says most people tell her why it's just impossible for them to practice the Sabbath, whether they mean a whole day or just an hour or even a half hour. To them, and I'll include myself in this, to us, she recommends this simple exercise. Make two lists on one piece of paper. On one side of the paper, list all of the things you know give you life that you never take time to do. Then on the other side, make a list of all the reasons why you think it is impossible for you to do these things. That's all there is to it. Just make the two lists and keep the piece of paper where you can see it. Also promise, she says, not to shush your heart when it howls for the list it wants. So Sabbath time, whether it be a whole day or an hour or a half hour, is not a two-dimensional experience of just unplugging, just resting, although that's part of it. The practice of Sabbath, and it is a practice, is a multi-dimensional experience of connecting with our wholeheartedness, with that which is life-giving. Let us hear again Brother David's words to our friend, the poet. He says, "You are like Rilke's swan and his awkward waddling across the ground. The swan doesn't cure his awkwardness by beating himself on the back, by moving faster, or by trying to organize himself better." How often do we do that? He does it by moving toward the elemental water where he belongs. It is the simple contact with the water that gives him grace and presence. For some, that water may be stillness or solitude. For others, it may be community. Laughter, play, creativity, contemplation, prayer. What is that life-giving water for you? Brother David continues, "You only have to touch the elemental waters in your own life and it will transform everything. But you have to let yourself down into those waters from the ground on which you stand. And that can be hard, particularly if you think you might drown." So he's speaking there of that resistance we talked about that most of us have. And that resistance is why it can be good not to do this alone. Find a friend with whom to have a life-giving conversation, or a walk at Sibley, or both. Or read poetry with your partner before bed instead of watching another show. Or come to church, where we do this crazy thing of sitting with one another for an hour in a sanctuary. My sermon may be the least important part of this, our shared Sabbath experience, when it compares to being together in moments of silence, recalling together our deepest values, singing and celebrating and lamenting and just being. Church is a way of doing Sabbath together. So may our prayer be that we accompany and encourage one another in the practice of saying no to half-hearted Energizer Bunny living, and saying yes to the practice of choosing over and over again to wade into that water of wholehearted, life-giving energy that will lift us into the lives we are called to create. May it be so.